Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for tonight. This is your moment. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not, you be seated. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Hopefully it doesn't take me very long to get to where we need to get to tonight. I come to find out a lot of times when we minister, it takes us a while to minister because we're trying to convince you of something that already is. And to really know what really is or what the truth is or what God's intention really is, it takes a search from you individually. Nobody can preach you upon it. Nobody can lay hands upon you. Nobody can put oil upon you. Nobody can proclaim it to you. No one can prophesy it to you. No one can, I'm trying to think of all the super spiritual words. You can't worship into it. You can't praise into it. It's none of those things. It takes a personal search. It takes a personal crucifixion of self. It takes a personal denial of self in order to see what God's plan is for us in its entirety. So in my place in ministering right now is only to lead you towards a path or a search or to light a flame that maybe needs to be a little bigger than what it's been. Some of us have a fire to an extent after Jesus, but sometimes it's not as blazing as it should. I come to find out that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, wasn't talking necessarily about saints and sinners. We as soon as we hear the world or be not conformed to this world, we immediately go to, oh, I need to be inside the church, or I need to be acting like a Christian, or I need to be a Christian, not like that. I get that sentiment, but more so, the church as a whole has been conformed to the world. And I heard this statement when I was coming out here, that we've been looking at God. When you put glasses on, anybody wears glasses, you know, I had to put my brother glasses on the other day, and it was funny because it's funny how people's perception are different based on their eyes, based on glasses. But however you see something, it's how you see it. And so sometimes people need to get glasses to see. Some people are nearsighted, farsighted. Sometimes we put on shades. Whatever you put over your eyes, whatever the lens is over your eyes, is how you'll see reality. It's how you see things. If you put shades on, everything will be dark. If you put red shades on, everything will be red. Put blue shades on, everything will be blue. If you put glasses on that are not prescribed for you, you'll be trying to see like somebody else, although that's not the ones that fit your eyes. And so whatever lens you put on, and I heard this, that we've been looking at God, we've been looking at and relating to God, or we've been looking at and relating to Christ, we've been looking at and relating to Jesus through the eyes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Ever since the beginning, that has been a dilemma. We say phrases like we were born into sin, or we say phrases like we came into this world into sin. Well, all sin is missing the mark. So we gotta take the boogeyman off of sin for a quick second. Take the boogeyman off. It's not this big boogeyman. It's just a mark that you're missing. It's just you're aiming for something, but you're not hitting the target because you're not seeing things properly, right? Right? If I don't have the right prescription of glasses over my eyes and things will get a little blurry, maybe I'll see two or three of things, right? Maybe things will be a little further than what I see because I may be nearsighted. Maybe things are a little closer because I'm farsighted. Whatever it is, my lens determines what I see out of where I'm looking at or what I'm looking through. So now we've been looking at God through the eyes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we get plenty of knowledge. We got a lot of scriptures. We got knowledge. And then the tree of knowledge, and the final tree of knowledge is the tree of knowledge. You have two trees, tree of life. He never said you had to eat from the tree of life. You go look at it in the scripture. He said you can eat of every tree in the garden. He never said you can eat from the tree of life, you have life. No, he said you can eat from every tree of the garden. But there's one tree I don't want you to eat from, and this is not my message, but there's one tree I don't want you to eat from. Right? And it's a tree in the center of the garden, and it's called the center of the garden, the tree of the center of the garden, the tree in the center of the garden, the tree of the center of the garden. And it says, it's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. It means you can partake of a tree, you can partake of a forbidden fruit that's just about knowledge of good and evil. But what sense does knowledge of good and evil make if you don't know how to disseminate it, or how to filter through it, or know what to do with it? So you know about it, but you can't live it. And so we've been looking through the eyes of the knowledge of good and evil for the longest. I found out today that mankind was trying to, and it's been this way since still till now, we've been trying to bypass the process. It's not that knowledge of good and evil wasn't going to be something that God dealt with Adam and Eve about, but it wasn't time for them. They were trying to be like God before they let God show them how to be like him. Skipping processes. And so now we're looking at God and looking at Jesus through the eyes of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So now we think it's how much we know. We think it's how much time we spent. We think it's how many scriptures can we get under our belt. But we know a lot. And boy, we can point out that good and evil. We can point out what somebody doing wrong, boy. And we can point out, what judgment is, we don't need no discernment then. We know that's wrong. But ain't much life happening. How do you, this is not my message, oh God. We can point out right and wrong, but can you bring life to it? Yes, sir. Many times we leave them with the bag. This is right, this is wrong, but we can't bring life to it. We can separate the sides, but we don't know which way we're supposed to walk. And the lack of manifestation proves that to be true as a whole. And so I'll say it again. We tend to look at God, look at God's will, look at Christ, look at Jesus, look at the Holy Spirit through the lens of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I really don't need much agreement tonight. If you really stop and look at your life, you'll see it. Most of what we think and most of what we judge is based on what we say is good, bad. I like to do something in my class. I did it in my class one time. I teach a class called Living by the Book. Another class called Church Unusual. So I asked myself, well, good or bad? You know, we know good or bad, right? So murder, good or bad? Everybody screaming right now, how bad? Murder, bad. Until somebody come in there and try to kill you. Or until something happens where you have to defend your family, because I hope you would defend your family, and now somebody else has to lose their life. Murder, good or bad then? It's still bad, but so we're looking through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we have a tendency to not be able to see life. Life is God. Jesus just the Father just made life and let it be what it is. But we make things difficult and we make them hard. The moment that we ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, everything got difficult. You see how confusing it got immediately? Immediately it got confusing. Everybody hiding, people scared, people, we started blaming it. It's the same stuff we do today. If you look at the garden, the book of Genesis was written beautifully. The beginning story was written beautifully because it's timeless. I don't care what technology you got. I don't care what era you live in. It's timeless. Today, right now, we still hiding. We still trying to clothe ourselves. We still blaming other people for why we are where we are. We still working by the sweat of our brow. It's still all these things that God started saying. He said, look, and it wasn't, people like to say that God cursed him. God didn't curse man. Man cursed himself. God didn't send man away from the garden. Man sent himself away by wanting something that he already was. As soon as confusion happens. Now you hiding. Now you scared. Are you saying you scared? I don't know if they're really scared. They're trying to play God. I'm hiding. I'm scared. I'm blaming. He says the woman fault. The woman says the servant fault. Everybody blaming everybody else. Nobody take responsibility. Ain't nobody repented. Nobody said they were sorry. Nobody said they missed it. Ego was at all-time high. That's where ego starts, right there in the garden. That's where ego starts. That's where pride starts. All that come right there in the garden. Immediately, see, I read it one day and I caught a different vibe from it. Because I started looking at us. I started looking at it through the way we look at things. I started realizing Adam wasn't scared. Adam was trying to play God. Scared of what? What he scared of? How he know to be scared? When that mind changed and started changing and trying to get what it wanted to get, it becomes a doorway to the enemy. That's why the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm going to read in a minute, say, take no thought for these things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. These wants, as soon as we begin to chase after what we want, our mind becomes shifty and conniving. And now we about to play God. We hid because we was afraid. Afraid of what? Where's afraid? Where did that word come from? Who taught you to be scared? Who told you? Then God says, who told you you were naked? Do y'all see the vision? You see the concept. And we have to be honest with ourselves and be honest with who we are at this moment and how we function in society. We've been functioning the same way. We're hiding, we're covering ourselves. We're trying to cover ourselves, we're hiding. We're afraid. We do things because we're afraid. We serve God because we're scared to go to hell. And that ain't love. Right? We pay our tithe because we don't want the devourer to come in. But that ain't love. That's self-preservation. Come on now. I'm trying to show you the difference between your actions. Your actions can be the same, but sometimes they come from different perspectives. And your perspective that it comes from determines your faith. Listen to what I'm saying. Some people act out of fear, out of worry, out of concern, out of self-preservation, and they can do the same actions as somebody that's doing it out of yielding, out of love, out of submission, out of denial of self, and this person get results and this person don't. Same action. So that means, you mean tell me two of us can come to the altar with a $100 bill? I'm just going to use that for example. Two of us can come to the altar with a $100 bill and I can get a result and you can't? Or you can get a result and I can't? Yeah, it's possible. How? Because of the perspective. Because of how you're approaching. Because of how you're looking. So now we've got to change from looking at this from the knowledge of knowledge of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, and go back to looking through life. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Go start looking at it through life. We've got to look at God, got to look at Christ, got to look at life through life, which is Jesus Christ. But for some particular reason, we have to meet every week and convince you about the same thing. We have to meet every week and tell you that Jesus is important. And if the phrase I say Jesus is important is a yes. Everybody say amen. Everybody would say amen. And Jesus is important. But these words, these red words, wow, like you should be bleeding these words. There should be, there's no other conversation. I call it catching a red eye. If you ever caught a red eye, it's late flight at night. You know, you catch it at night. You go straight from one place to another. You ain't got no layovers. You ain't got no weight. You get on the plane, it's red eyes. Straight the way you're trying to go to. And I started saying, I need to have red eyes. I don't need to be looking at Genesis, just the eyes of Genesis. I only see what I see in Genesis because I'm looking through the eyes of the red. I'm looking through the red eyes. I'm looking through the eyes of Christ. I'm searching those red words to see how Christ sees things and how he looks at it so that I can look at it the same way. Because as far as I'm concerned, I mean, we call ourselves what? Christians, right? We're here because of who? Right? That's the truth, right? We're here because of Christ. If we're here because of Christ, if we're meeting you online and we meet in these churches all across the world, if we do this because of Christ, then don't we think that Christ should be more than a figurehead? He should actually be the lifestyle. John 1 tried to tell us, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word of God. The word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, it said he was the light and we beheld. Remember that he was the light and we beheld that light. We were able to see that light. We were able to see the difference between that and other things. And we saw that light and that light drew us. But coming to Christ is just the beginning. Coming to Jesus is just the beginning. Coming to Jesus is step one. I heard a statement the other day that said there's more to the kingdom. There's more to God's plan than what he's intended doing than just get some people into heaven after they die. He's got a plan. Okay, that's part of the plan. But what's the plan about the people that ain't dying yet? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And so now we've got to look at things, and I won't finish this whole time. All the time on the clock, I won't finish that because I don't want to get, I'm about to go through it. I don't want to get to the point of convincing you of what's best for you. You ever try to convince somebody of what's best for them? You ever try to convince somebody of what's obviously good for them? Hold on. You got to convince somebody about what they signed up for. You signed up to be a Christian. I mean, you just finished singing, saying Jesus is the Lord of your life. You did it. You got all them worship CDs and all them worship MP3s in your phone. You have worship and devotion time in the morning. You do it. No, you do it. You got the JESUS, you know, tatted on your arm. Or you got the cross you be wearing. You the one that got Jesus Lord on the beginning of your voicemail. When somebody get to Jesus Lord, leave a message. It's you. So if that's what you're saying, then let's break this thing down for a minute. Let's get all beside the fanfare. and beside the stuff that we do. It doesn't really break down to what's being expected of us. Many times we don't tell people what they signed up for, because you really signed up to die. When I said I wanted to make Jesus the Lord of my life, that means I stopped being the Lord of my life. They ain't got that one in the sign up sheet. So I gotta look at God. I gotta see God the way Jesus sees him. Obviously, we know that Jesus. Let me talk about Jesus for a minute, because I love that man. I love him. I've said this before, but I love him beyond the reasons that everybody else might think they love him, or the mainstream reason. Because the mainstream reason, because he died on the cross for you, and now you ain't gotta be sick no more. You ain't gotta be all the stuff that you want, that you ain't got to have deal with no more. But it's the pathway to it. Like, I don't wanna. My goal has always been to be everything that I'm supposed to be while I'm here. I got to be that. What's the point? What are we doing if not, right? Like, what are we doing if we don't, like, why did he, on that day of my birthday, why did he birth me into this world? Why did he conceive me? There's something he's got a plan, and then Jesus comes and shows me what that looks like for me, right? Shows me, I mean, it's plain. I mean, I thank God for the Gospels. It makes it plain, but I've got to drench myself in the red. Drench myself in these red words, so that I can understand what's going on everywhere else. See, the reason that it says we see in part, know in part, but that which is perfect come, we see clearly, right? The reason that the man said, I see men, but I see men walking as trees, and then Jesus touched him again, he said, I see clearly. See, the reason there was a haze or a veil or a fog in between is because we didn't have the red eyes to look through yet. So we couldn't see things clearly. So we were trying to do everything from Genesis to Malachi, but we just couldn't see it. When we get to Malachi, they start talking about the tithe, and we thought we made it. When the tithe is only a test for your everything. He really saying, can you give 10? Because I'm trying to test you to see if you can give it all. Because who it all belong to? Jesus. And so now Jesus ruffles the feathers. And he ruffles the feathers really hard, because he begins to make demands on the individual past the law. Listen to me. He begins to make a demand, not so much with his words, but his life and his example of who he was in the flesh begin to make a demand on life out of the individual. Yeah, and he even said it many times. I'm calling for something. Yeah. They call it the Shema. What's the greatest law and the commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Well, they were cool with that. People don't know it. We know we it wasn't that deep. They've been saying that since the beginning, since way up in Joshua, since way up in Deuteronomy. They've been saying that way back then. It was a part. They said they would say that in the morning when they first wake up, and when in the night before they go to bed. They called it the Shema. That was a tradition that was out the Jewish community, that out all the Israelites, they all said it. They all knew that. So they said the test of me, he said, what's the greatest commandment of law? Of course he's gonna say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Right? But then he says, and the second one, uh-oh. Yep. It's just like the first one. That you should love your neighbor just as you love yourself. Because they thought they were doing another one by quoting every night to go to bed. But Jesus says something else. And when Jesus started talking, he started saying, and it's something they weren't saying, because they used to say, love the Lord your God and hate your enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. love your enemies. It started making a demand. He's making a demand and trying to see if you're willing to give more than what you've been given. Will you give a little more? Will you give a little more? He said, will you give a little more? He found your spot. He found where your spot. When he found your spot, he realized, okay, I can't take you no further. I find your spot. That's your spot right there. You're not going no further than this. I find your limit. That's your life limit right there. You're not willing to give up this. I think we should limit some of people's, this is funny. I think we should limit some of people's ability to holler and shout in church. I think we should put a limit on some people's ability to worship. Like, you can't get up here and scream, "Lord, I love you with all my heart." You can't do it because you're lying. You love him with all your heart that you're willing to give him. You love him with all your heart that makes you comfortable. When I read a statement the other day that said the love of God always, every time the true love of God is coming out of somebody, it always runs against resistance. You know, we preachers, we understand how that go. Whenever you tell the truth, there's not a grand clap and everybody get some noise. No, it don't happen. It's more so of a, and I got to go home and think about it. I'm going to lick my wounds a little bit, right? Like, but that's what growth is. That's what growth is. Once again, we can't be looking for the claps. I had to stop. I had to stop looking for the claps because they don't come. They don't come when you tell the truth. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, we're talking about, we got to change the vision. We got to change the view, change the way we're looking at things, change how we see it. We've made things difficult for ourselves by not doing it like Jesus. We've made things hard. We made life hard when life should have been a flow from the beginning, right? Come unto me. Jumping. Verse 25 at a time, Jesus answered, said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes." Wise and the prudent sound like the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't it? That thou hast hidden these things from the people that's living on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You've hidden it from the people that are trying to be smart. You've hidden it from these people that got all these things and all these things and they want to be smarter so they can tell everybody they're smarter. I even read in the old Aramaic times, they wanted to preach where you couldn't understand something. And that's when they said you had a good message. If they gave a lecture and people left away not being able to understand it, they say, "Oh, he's a great speaker." Yeah. Ain't that crazy? Yeah, one day we better talk about it a little bit more. But the culture was so different that, first of all, they argued all the time. Right? And they were debating. In the temple, it wasn't like we go to church right now. In the temple, they debating. I guess they debating some people's churches. They debating, and there's a if you gave a message, and people went away understanding what you said, you not no good preacher, you can't preach them, but you gave a good little talk. But then Jesus starts saying simple stuff. He starts having simple conversations about seed time and harvest. He's talking to the farmers. He breaks down the parables in a way that. Even a child, except you become a child. He said this. I break it down so simple because that is what it is in the first place. It only became difficult when you partake of that tree. Now, partaking of that tree is not just in Genesis back then. It's right now. You buy into the difficulty. Be it to your call and to your faith. If thou canst believe, all things are possible then to believe. If you can believe it's difficult, God dog it, you can have it difficult. What measure you meet? I thank you, Father, hid the wise food. Even so, Father, for it so seemed good in thy sight. All these things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son shall reveal him. Verse 28, he says, "Come unto me." He didn't say, "I'm coming get you." I need you to catch the terminology. He didn't say, "I'm about to come get you." He said, "Come unto me." Who we talking to? All y'all that's laboring and heavy laden. And then what happens? I will give you rest. Verse 29, take. Now he said, "I'm going to throw it on you." He didn't say, "I'm going to put it on you." Take. It's things that we got to do. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am strong and righteous. For I'm holy and anointed. For I am great and merciful. For I am sound and wise. that ain't the ones he used. For I am meek and lowly in heart. People read over your scriptures because we know them, and they miss the key. They miss the key to their life. They miss the key to life. Right there. By faith, meek and lowly in heart. Claim it to meek and lowly in heart. Call down fire from heaven. Meek. Lowly in heart. And you'll find rest. I'll give you rest by you finding it. See, I give you rest by giving you the ability to find it. You gotta hear me. The way that I give you things is by giving you the ability to find it. Right? That's why a little later on, a little further back in another chapter, start reading, he says, seek ye first. Yeah. I can't. I said this statement yesterday. If we get everything we want without being everything that we should be, we'll become a spoiled society. You're a spoiled children. You give them something without ever working for nothing, and then they'll never know how to do nothing. So now if you leave, they're going to be stuck without any skills. You leave, they'll be stuck without knowing how to do anything in this world. Jesus wanted to make sure that when he left, he'll be able to say, the works that I do, shall you do also. Because I taught you everything to them. I don't call you, I'm quoting scriptures right now. I don't call y'all servants no more, but I call you friends. He said, because the servant don't know what the master's doing. But I call you friends because I told you everything. I've shown you, not only I told you, but I've shown you everything it's supposed to be. I will not leave you empty-handed. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. So that means something you got to do. It means you got to go approach. You got to go approach. You grab the yoke. The yoke is not going to jump on you. It's not going to fall on you. Holy Spirit, fall on me. I'm sorry. It's not going to fall on you. The anointing is not going to fall. Actually, you're missing direction because it actually comes out of you. It comes from the inside. It's not going to overtake you. It only going to overtake you when you undertake you. You know what the undertaker is, huh? You know what the undertaker do, right? Yeah, you got to be your own undertaker. You got to die. You got to die what you think you believe. Die what you think you standing on. Die to all these rituals and steps and all this stuff that you done made your thing and it don't work. And take this yoke. In verse 30, it's almost like you're making fun of us. It's almost like you're reading, you're like, for my yoke is he. That ain't what I learned in Vacation Bible School. That ain't what I learned in upbringing. I heard it. You know, it's a hard road out here. You got to give up a lot. It's a lot of study time. You can't go everywhere everybody else go. Well, shoot, that sounds hard to me. That's my yoke. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take this understanding. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Is he lying? Come on at home. Answer me on the chat. I know y'all be quoting in the comments. Answer me. Is he lying? Is Jesus lying? He can't be lying. So if the man said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he ain't lying. If the man said, I'm going to say it again, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, is Jesus lying or not? Hell no, he ain't lying. So if he's not lying, who lying? If your life is difficult, you're lying. The word made flesh, you a living lie. You lie in the flesh. I'm a lie in the flesh if things are difficult for me. I'm a lie in the flesh if these things are heavy. I am a liar in the flesh. I am a living lie. I'll prove it to you that I'm a living lie because when people see me, they see a lie. Wow. Yeah. I start talking about my Jesus and all this about my Jesus, but then me, look at me. Yep. I become a living lie. A lie in the flesh. Because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's a particular word. Go flip over to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. There's a particular word that amazed me the other day when I saw this. And I'm gonna try to walk you through it a little bit. And then my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Take my yoke upon me. Come here. John 5:39, I don't have time to go there. He says, search the scriptures. Right? We ain't got no problem with that. We search the scriptures, right? Search the scriptures. For anything we think you have life. He said, eternal life. He said, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40, it don't break, but you won't come unto me. He said, but you won't. They talking about me, but you won't come to me. What? It don't make no sense. They're talking about me, but you won't come to me. Now, why won't people come to him? And I'm not talking about come to Jesus right now. I'm not talking about really witnessing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there's people that are saved already that don't come to Jesus. There are people in the church that don't come. This is what I'm saying. And it becomes difficult. Here's when it becomes difficult to come to Jesus. Because when you come to Jesus, like the rich young ruler, he's going to ask you a couple things. He's going to say, well, have you observed the commandments? Now, he's only saying that to him because he's supposed to be at the church already. So I would say the same thing, too. If I'm here and you're a minister, or you're a church member, been here for 20 years or however long, or you just, you know, you call yourself a reverend or whatever. If you come to me, ask me for eternal life, I'm going to ask the same thing. Well, did you observe, because that's what you're living by, did you observe the law, all of the commandments? Yeah, okay, cool. All right, cool. One thing. How many things? One thing. How many things? One thing. How many things? One thing. One thing. One thing. One thing you're lacking. Yeah, you ain't lacking a bunch of stuff. You're not lacking a shout. You're not lacking a praise. You're not lacking a gift. You're not lacking anything right now. Now, there's one thing right here I'm about to show you. There's one thing that you're lacking. One thing you're lacking. He said, go your way. I thought he was going to tell him what the one thing was. And he did, but we didn't catch it. He said, one thing you're lacking. Go sell what you got. All that stuff that you done worked up on, or you got the way that you got it, I need you to sell that. Yeah, all that knowledge of good and evil that you got, through all the all the reading and all the stuff that you got, yeah, I need you to sell that. I need you to go sell what you have, give to the poor, right? And then take up your cross and come follow me. This guy, as well as us guys, reacted the same way. We go away sad at that saying because we have great possessions. We go away sad at what Jesus, we thought when we came to Jesus and let's say Jesus in the room and you come up for an appointment and you walk in to get some understanding from him, right? You to come in for your appointment at 3:00 and Jesus about to change your life. He about to tell you everything you need. And then when you got in there, the stuff he started saying to you, you was like, are you sure you're Jesus? Are you the one or should we look for another? Because it doesn't bear witness with the things that you want. But you got to realize now, you've only based what you want or what you have off of those lenses of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You only base what's good life to you based off of what you thought was good life. And that idea of good life, where did you get it from? Be not conformed to this world. Who gave you that idea of what a good life is? Even Jesus said right before, the beginning of that, before the rich ruler, he said, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but one. He begins to ask you, this is why people put it down. Let's go back and do regular church. Let's go back and do the regular thing we're doing because that's comfortable. I can go there, do that on Sunday and Tuesday, and then I'm cool. But he begins to ask for all your other days. Then he starts asking for your minutes. Your hours and your minutes and your seconds. Then he starts asking for everything. He starts interrupting all your plans. Your plans. Now, we don't really understand it. On the other side of his interruption is everything that we've been looking for. On the other side of what, so the one thing that's lacking, he says, I need you to get rid of all that stuff that you think that you define yourself by, you've identified yourself, and I need you to take up your cross. Now, you know, when anybody take up a cross, it's time to go die, right? So that spooked him out at first, too, because people want eternal life without dying. Everybody want to go to heaven, but no, nobody want to die. Everybody want the glory. We just sing that song we be singing. We be like, I just want to be where you at. I just want to see you. Okay. Just to be in your presence. Okay. Just to be in your glory all day. I'll shout all day and I'll praise all day. Okay. There's a way to get that done. And I won't die. Take up your cross. It's time to go die. Take up your cross, it's time to go die. Take up your cross and follow me. That's the one thing. See, you're missing the one thing you're missing is the follow. Are you following the church? You follow Christianity, and then all that's supposed to bring you to, then you got to follow Jesus, got to go a little further. Come on, y'all, we've been in church a lot. We know how to church. Y'all tell the truth, we know how to church, right? Y'all know we know how to church. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Right, I can start quoting some things and saying some things. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody saying hallelujah. Like we know, and I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. I'm just saying we know the church. We know how to do it. But then Jesus says, okay, come a little further. Who do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, blessed thou, Son of John, the flesh, blood, and I revealed this, and my Father was in heaven. And said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail of it. And I give you the keys. Yeah. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth, bind in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth, you lose heaven. Woo! Hallelujah, we praise to the Lord. And then he said, oh, stop, hold on, earth, hit the brake. Then Jesus talked to him and said, Jesus starts to explain to them how he's going to go. And they're going to take him and kill him, and beat him and kill him. And he starts telling him he's going to get up on the third day. And immediately Satan pokes his head up out of Peter. All of a sudden, Peter, Satan, now, ain't going to be until you, Lord. You just missed the point. Because I'm asking you for more than you're willing to give. The statement that many are called and chosen a few, the chosen don't have to be few, but it's the few ain't choosing. I mean, the few are the only ones that will choose. That's what I want to say. The many ain't choosing. Many ain't choosing to die. And then right after that, he's talking, we still over there with Jesus talking about Peter, get behind me, Satan. Then right after that, he says, if any man will come unto me, come after me, let him deny himself. How many men? Any man. Any man that got to come after me, he really talking about he following me, he got to deny himself. If a man can't deny himself, he's not a follower of Christ. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And he said, he goes on to say, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Watch this. Right there. And then he goes on to say, he who finds his life is going to lose it. He who loses his life, for my sake, the gospel is going to find it. It's too much. Everybody quiet no more. Nobody don't want to talk no more. Because he's asking for more than we're willing to give. Then we don't understand. We back in the rich young ruler now. Right after that, the rich young ruler walk away because he's sad because he got great possessions. Jesus turned around, look at the disciples, say, how hard it is for a rich man that's in the kingdom of heaven. He says, harder than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I read that in Arabic and I started reading it. The word camel and rope are the same word. So it's really meaning how hard is it for a rope to enter into a needle? Like, can you imagine a rope and put it inside of a needle? It'd never happen. It's just that difficult. Then they start asking. Disciples say, well, Lord, we didn't left all, and we didn't left all get what we gonna get. He says, there's no man that's left houses and lands. And he started getting, I'm telling you now, I think we skip over this scripture because it's tough. Because we got husbands and wives, and we got lands and houses, and we got children, and we got mothers and fathers. And all these things that we define ourselves by. He goes to everything that's touchy. He said, leave your mama and your daddy and your wife, Lord, and leave your children and your possessions. And y'all, I ain't write this, y'all. Guys, it get itchy when we talk about it. I ain't write this. Jesus said that your land, your house, all that stuff. He said, now watch this. And Jesus is so good to us, so gracious, but we still can't see what he's saying. He said, there's nobody that's left all these things for my sake, the gospel, that won't receive a hundredfold of all these things, and then start listing them again. And then he says, now in this time. Yeah. That means not in heaven. Yeah. That means he wants you to, another scripture said, lay up not for yourself treasures in heaven. Lay up not for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust do grow, but lay up yourself treasures for heaven. He's trying to say something to you. He's not talking about somewhere else. He's talking about change. I need you to, I don't really know, Jesus makes a statement. He said, you don't take my life, I give it. So it ain't really a sacrifice unless you give it. As many people die, but they're not a sacrifice. And so time be up and we die, never having sacrificed. We should die before we die. Matter of fact, die now. You should die now. And I'm saying like this, if I were talking to some other people that weren't churched or didn't know the scriptures or whatever, I wouldn't say that because that's kind of scary. You ever notice how scary stuff be sounding when we say in the church, plead the blood of Jesus, put the blood of Jesus on you before you leave the house? You know, we say stuff like that. That's kind of weird for somebody that don't know nothing about what we talk about, right? Right? And so even if you said die, you got to die. What are these people talking about? But y'all in the scriptures, y'all know what I'm talking about. So you know exactly the sacrifice that I'm talking about making. Matthew 5, verse 14. Well, verse 13, I could read all the way from verse 1, but I ain't got time to do it. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. Y'all, you are me, are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So it's like, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt lost its flavor, like if you lose your flavor, like if you don't have no flavor no more, flavor, right? Right? You know, you say, man, you got flavor, man. They don't say that much more, but they say you got the flavor, like you got the vibe, like you got what it takes. You know what's going on. You got flavor. But if it's lost its savor, lost its flavor, then what? How shall it be salted? Like it's lost the taste. It lost what it's supposed to do. How shall it be salted? The world, you are the salt of the earth. That means you are the seasoning. Are you the flavor of the earth? Therefore, it's good. If you ain't got no, if salt ain't got no taste, it's sand. I said, you throw that out the door. And to be tried on the foot of men. Verse 14 is very absolute. You are the light of the world. He said, you're salt of the earth. He said, you are the light of the world. City that set on the hill that cannot be hid. Now watch this. And this is explaining what light does. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. In other words, people know what to do with a light. When people see a light, they know what to do with it. Right now, if it's dark somewhere and the light came on, you know to walk towards the light. You're in the house, you walk towards the light. Sometimes a light in your house, when everything else is dark, shows you where everything else is. You can see the light and say, okay, I know where that's coming from. This shows where everything is. The light gives definition, right? Right? So you know what to do with a light. You turn it on. If it's on already, you go towards it. Verse 16. And his first word, he says, let your light so shine before men. He didn't say shine your light. Look at it. He didn't say shine your light. Shine your light before men. No, ain't what he said. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now this becomes absolute. That means glorifying the Father comes absolute when they see the light. But how's the light shine? What's that first word? I'm gonna show you how powerful that word is in a minute. Philippians 2:5 makes a statement that says, let this mind being you, right? The word let means to allow something. In order to let something, this has to be a yielding, a submitting, a surrender. We have a billion definitions of faith. Faith is acting and believing on the word, stepping out on. I come to believe that faith is really believing and submitting to your beliefs. Believing and yielding. We've been making things happen instead of allowing things manifest. The word let, and I got to jump. The word let, 14 times in the first chapter of Genesis, the very beginning. He said, God, and God created the heavens and earth, right? He starts off with it and he says, and the first word he says is, what the first word God says? Come on, Genesis. Come on. Wow. And God said, it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. Come on, go there real quick. And God said, what? The first words that we have recorded in the Bible that God says is this word. And what does he say? I command the light to come on. Light, I command you in my name to be here. Nah, that ain't it. Let there be light. Y'all say it at home right now. Y'all say it at home. Everybody say, let there be light. Sounds like, let your light shine. Hope y'all seen what I'm seeing. You are the light of the earth. You are the light of the, you're the light of the world. So as it was in the beginning, let there be. We got this thing backwards, Larry. We got it backwards. We've been naming and claiming instead of submitting and yielding. That's why it's been difficult. My Uncle Roy taught me how to, he taught me how to use a hammer a long time ago. And he said, son, I was a little boy. Huh? He said, you, I'm getting full right now. He says, listen, you're the light of the world. He says, you're choking up on that hammer too hard. He said, you keep doing it like this and it's not going in. It's not, you caught your lungs hitting your hand. You're working too hard. Now listen to me. He says, you have to let it go a little bit and go in the back of the hammer and let it swing. And let the hammer do what it's going to do because the weight of it is going to do it. The same thing when I'm using a maul. We're using the maul and I used to, because it was heavy to pick up. Y'all know, y'all used them all before. It's heavy to pick up. And so he said, no. I think Brother Ronald told me what he said. You got to take that, you got to let it swing it. You got to swing it and then let the weight do what it's going to do. You're working too hard. You're praying too hard. You're trying too hard and not getting the results. He says, over there, he says, consider your ways. He said, Haggai, he said, consider your ways. He said, you bring in wages, but you put them in bags with holes in it. He said, you're hungry and you eat, but you never full. You're thirsty and you drink, but your thirst will never quench. Come on, y'all, find yourself for a second. I find myself, he said, you're cold and you put on clothes, but you still freeze. He said, consider your ways. And we've been trying to create an opposite way than God does. And the first word God says is what? Let there be light. And then immediately says, and there was. There was no conversation about it. There was no meditation or no prayer or no fasting about it. He said, let it be light. And there was. We've clogged our own pipes up. We've covered our own light and put our candle under a bushel by trying to do things our way. We put more emphasis on trying to gain knowledge. We read a new book. We want to hear another message. We want a new word. We want a new revelation. There is no new revelation, right? It is what it is. It's been the same since the very beginning. And we put so much energy in going after. That's the world system. I need another one. I need another word. I need another word. I need a word from the Lord. I need another presence. I need another glory. God is going to send another wave. He's going to do another move in the country. He's going to do another. No, shut up. How's he going to do another move if you ain't finished the move he's doing? We put our belief in the wrong pipeline. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? We have not focused on the yielding aspect. And this is all Jesus is saying. He says, don't call me good, ain't nothing good but one God. Listen to the conversation. He says, as I hear, I judge. He ain't say, boy, I got some wisdom yet. Nope, as I hear, I judge. The man say, look, my father working, so I'm working. He said, then he goes further, he said, really, my father doing the work. It's an allowance, it's a yielding. Let. Are you telling me, hold on. Look at this. Are you telling me that God says allow light? And it was. Are you telling me that light was something that God had believed and conceived to happen, and so instead of commanding it, he let it be because it's already there? What if I told you that everything you're talking about, everything you're trying to accomplish, everything you're trying to get is already there, you just won't let it? Same thing, verse 9, he said, let the dry land appear. Said it 14 times. 14 times in the creation. Let the herb bring forth grass and herb yielding seed. Verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament. And let them be for a sign and for the season, the days and the years. Verse 15, let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And so he keeps saying let. He keeps saying let. Verse 27, God said, let the waters bring forth abundant moving creatures that had light. So the waters had to bring them forth. I let the waters do it. I let them be what they are. Verse 22, God blessed him and saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let the fire multiply in the earth. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature from his kind, cattle and creatures. Let it. Everybody say let. Come on, you say it in the chat. Say it in the chat. Let. I got to let it happen. Come on, say it in the chat. I got to let it happen. I got to let it happen. I've been forcing myself upon things and I'm not letting God be who he is. I'm not letting his nature come out of me because I'm forcing what I think my idea of it is. And my idea is what's covering the light. Verse 26, and God said, talking about man now. He said, let us make man. So man was an allowance. See, we focus so much on speaking things into existence, but we don't focus on how to speak. Are we focus so much on speaking things to existence, but we don't focus on the language that was used to speak. What was actually said, Larry? Like, what was actually said? What was actually said, right? Like, okay, speak things to existence, but what are we speaking? Because if you can speak things to existence and speak the wrong thing. I heard one of our great preachers say this one time, and it was so funny. It was on live TV, everybody watching all over the world, TVing all over the world. And he said, God came to my faith. God came out and set everything up, and it was dark and void. And he said, and what if the first thing God would have said is, damn, it's dark? Well, what would have happened? I'm just saying what that preacher said. It was the funniest thing in the world, but I fell in the pool laughing, right? Nobody thought he was going to say that. The verbiage is important. He's speaking things to existence all the time. Thank God I don't get everything that I speak into existence. Whew. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Y'all go ahead and think about it. I know you feel the same way. Thank God you ain't get everything you said. But when I go to the let, I'm allowing something that's bigger than me manifest. Yes, through me. See the submission? You see the submission? Do y'all see the submission? At home right now, do y'all see the submission? Let us make man. Man was an allowance after our likeness. And let them have, watch it. He says, let them have dominion. See, you having dominion is an allowance. It's not a taking. It's not a go and get it. No, you have to allow dominion to live through you. You have to allow yourself to be a dominator. It's just that easy. You didn't see Jesus toil. Tell me when you saw him toil. I'll wait for your example of Jesus toiling. I'll working on it. The man knew that I'm one with my Father, and my Father's MO is an allowance of a yielding of himself. So I'm just going to let him do the work in me. And I'm going to, as I hear, that's what I'm going to say. I ain't got no plan out here. I ain't got no mission or something. I'm trying to prove nobody. Let there be light. Let your light shine so men. What's going to happen? Men going to see your light. They're going to glorify the Father. Watch how simple it is. Let your light shine. Take the cloak off. Get it from under the bush. Let your light shine. And then when they see the light, they glorify the Father. Let us make man. He keep going on. He keep going. He says it 14, and then 14 times in chapter 1. And then after chapter 1, I don't see let again. And the next time I see let, It's in chapter, hold on, this is so funny. It's in chapter 11, when they start talking about they want to build a tower to heaven. You know, a tower, he had to come down and confuse their language because they were building the wrong thing. Oh, they were building, but they were building the wrong thing. They were manifesting, but manifesting the wrong thing. And God even knew. God said, if I don't go down here and confuse their language, they really going to do this. And it wasn't his plan. People got God's plan messed up sometimes. You realize when they said they wanted a king, God said, y'all don't need a king, and try to tell them. And then you know he anointed a king for them. Now go read it. Y'all don't need a king. That's not my will for y'all. My will for you is not a king. We want a king. My will for y'all is not a king. This nigga, they're going to take your daughters, and they're going to take your sons, and take them to war, and they're going to make them all so life's not going to be the same. That is not my will for you. Nah, but the other people got it. Be conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. They got a king, so we want a king. And the next chapter starts, say, okay, let them have it. And then God anoints a king for them. That's where Saul come from. What? Why would you do that, God? I'm just letting you have your way. Everything in your life that's not favorable, you let it happen. Yep. And the same way, everything that you want to manifest, not that you want, God, no, what God wants to manifest through you, because you got to submit, is going to be a letting. We got the pipe choked. We choked the pipe. And so now the manifestation can't flow because we're not letting it. Over Matthew 6, he starts saying, take no thought. And I want you to teach us something too. I'm going to say this, and I'm almost done. A couple minutes left. I'm trying to teach you how to relate to Jesus in the Gospels. You have to relate to Jesus not as a lecture or not as a lesson, and stop trying to catch the revelation, but get the revelation of who he is. And then when you know him, you understand how he's saying this to you. He says, take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, all that. He's not talking about the birds. He said they don't sow nothing there. He said, I'll feed them. He said, I got in my nose right now. Flowers don't command a flower to blossom. You let it. Nature is a letting. God's way is a letting. It's a submitting than a letting. It's a dying to what you thought was real, submitting yourself to true life, and then letting that light shine through you. It's what it is. He's a man. What you gonna eat? What you gonna drink? He said, because I know. He said, which one of y'all by your own effort can add one cubit to your stature? Please tell me. Which one of y'all by your own effort can add one cubit to your stature? Well, you can add a lot of stuff to you, and you can add a lot of things, but how? Which one of y'all can do that to your natural stature? Which one of y'all? He said, why are you taking thought for clothes? All this, he says, therefore take no thought, verse 31, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewith you shall be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, be ye not conformed to this world. Be ye not conformed to this world. You've taken your faith. Your faith is in the form of the world. What you thought was acting and believing on the word of God was actually acting and believing on what the world told you the way it's supposed to go, because you want the stuff that they got. And your light is greater than artificial light. Sunlight is greater than artificial light. But seek ye first. For he says, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of this. How he know? How he know your heavenly Father have need all? You know you got need all these things. How he know? How he know? How Jesus know that your heavenly Father know? Because I'm one with God. I've experienced this. Jesus not talking lesson. He's talking matter of fact. He's saying, listen, you can line up if you want, but it's really going to be this regardless. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be. Which one of y'all by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? That's verse 27. Which one of y'all by taking your thoughts? Which one of y'all by taking any thought? He said, take no thought. He's trying to say, don't take them thoughts from them people. Don't take them thoughts. Which one of y'all by taking thought can add to yourself? No, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things be. You are letting them come. You're letting it happen. Let. I'm gonna go back. Let there be light. Let so your light shine. Up is down and down is up. That's the world says. World make you go right because you think right is right, but right ain't really right all the time. And so, well, what do we do? Die! Crucify yourself to yourself. All that stuff that's telling you somebody else, turn it off for a minute. Could you really let God show you who you are? Hello. For a quick second? Can you stop being black, white, whatever color you are, and let God show you who you are? Amen.